Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and memories reflect you.
I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to just let it be. To join with others, linking hearts and minds across the airwaves, as we are consciously choosing to connect and commune with the ground of our being, God in us as us. And we continue our series on embracing and balancing the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And as always, I need to emphasize, this is not talking about gender. This is talking about the recognition of the energies that are within us that are both feminine and masculine. The feminine energy is that which receives, versus the masculine energy, which is that which creates. The feminine energy is also that which is just being, as opposed to, or versus the masculine energy of doing. And the third example I want to give you of a feminine energy is that of allowing, as opposed to, or versus that of acting. You see, they have two very different roles. And as Shakti Green has shared yesterday, said, the union of feminine and masculine energies within the individual is the basis of all creation. Note, the basis of all creation is that union. But that union must be in balance. I shared last week what it looked like when it wasn't balanced. But something I came across this week kind of struck me on the forehead between the eyebrows, as I had never thought of it in this particular way. And what it said was that when we surrender, that is when we are acting from the divine feminine energy. That is when we are allowing the universe to take control as the masculine. So this is when we've handed over and say, not my way, but your way, Lord. This is when we say, I don't know what to do, but you do. This is when we know that that which is within us is greater than our individual little self. When we are in that surrender, we are allowing now the masculine energy of God, of the universe, to take control and go into action. that energy that is going to do the doing, that is going to do the creating, that is going to do the acting. When we surrender, we are in our feminine energy of receiving, of just being, of just allowing. And it is this understanding that when we are in that feminine energy and allowing the masculine energy of the universe to work in us, through us, for us, it's what we deem as divine intervention. However, for many of us, we are often not able to surrender. So we are then in the masculine energy, where we are the ones making the decisions, we are the ones doing the doing, we are the ones that think we're in control. So what happens now is that when we are in our masculine energy, calling the shots as it were, it is then the feminine energy of the universe that takes the running. It is then a receiving from us the instruction. It is just being and allowing us to do the doing and allowing us to do the acting. So when we are in control or calling the shots or think we know how to do what it is that it needs to be done, we are in the masculine energy, and the feminine energy is in the back seat, as it were. You see, when we understand how these energies flow and work, then we need to understand there is a time when we need to be in our feminine energy and allowing the masculine to work. And then in that, when we are in that, we can receive the intuitive aspects of what is for us to do. Always when we are in the surrender, it's not that we think that we have nothing to do, or that God is doing it all and therefore we're just going to sit and wait for it to happen and manifest. No. In the surrender, we allow the divine universe to reveal to us what it is that we have to action upon. And then we step into the masculine energy of the doing, of the creating, of the acting. Recognize how to use the flow of these two energies. Recognize when you are out of sync and out of balance and which one you are in. Remember, the feminine energy is the energy of receiving, of being, of allowing. The masculine energy is that of creating, of doing, of acting out. I'm sure now that there's this clear distinction, you can see when you are using which energy and whether it is appropriate. You can see whether you're in balance or out of balance. You get to see how some of the choices and decisions you've made for your life, for your experiences, were guided by which one of those energies you happen to be in at the time. This is such a complex but yet easy, in the sense of when we understand how these two energies within us work in sync. They're not separate. They work siloed together. They exist in balance. But all of us, at some time or another, are out of whack. We're out of balance with our divine and masculine energy. The whole idea of what I share on the Sunday Soul is to look at the way in which we can travel this journey through this life as integrated, whole, faith-filled spiritual beings in our power. And I make no bones that I know there will be days when we are truly in alignment with that, and there are days when we are totally out of kilter. But the idea is not that we beat ourselves up. The idea is that we keep coming back to the remembrance that this is the truth of who we are. We are here to express the divine nature, the divine presence, the divine being that is us. We have covered it over with so much dirt and soil and grit of the world that we forget that our true essence is light, is love, and is power. It is written that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We need to use these tools of love and power and a sound mind to come back and balance and align our masculine and feminine energies so that we can express and experience the life we were meant to live. The story that I want to share is a long one, but I didn't want to edit it because there are many things that I wanted to talk about. So let me begin. And let me actually share who it's by. It's by Dalia Mirzaban. And she says, huddled in the back left-hand corner of a large hall, me and a handful of other women would gather to take part in Islamic Friday prayer at our university in British Columbia in the early 2000s. Meanwhile, at the front of the room where light streamed in from the windows, dozens of young men stood side by side in rows. We recited the same prayer, but the gap in our experience was far wider than the swath of carpet separating the masculine and feminine in most Islamic religious spaces. As soon as we would say our final salams, I would dash for the door as quickly as I arrived. Attending congregational prayers where women are typically relegated to back corner, behind a partition, or in a windowless room of a mosque has always been an awkward and disheartening experience for me. The rigid segregation of religious spaces made me hyper-aware of the limitations of my feminine identity, which I realized only years later were imposed on me rather than intrinsic to the tradition. That gnawing sense of discomfort made me ashamed of my girlhood and eventually my womanhood in ways I can only now begin to articulate. I was so immersed in patriarchy during my childhood that I assumed messages of faith could be communicated only through the masculine voice. After all, most references I encountered of God were as he, and all the prophets of the Abrahamic traditions were men. Yet, as I got older, my most intimate moments with Allah in personal sacred spaces had an entirely different quality. During early morning prostrations before my beloved, I had a deep sense that our connection was beyond constructions of gender and beyond my supposed inferiority. Rather, it was an exchange of energies that was deeply loving and nourishing. Something wasn't right with the prevailing masculine narrative of Islam, but I was unable to put my finger on why. That changed when I became acquainted with the powerful women who have been largely erased from our spiritual histories. Their voices are muffled and faint not because they didn't exist, but because they've been hidden and written out of relevance by patriarchal readings and writings of Islam. In the past 2 years, I've attended conferences in the UK, Lake District, focused on the theme of awakening the sacred feminine within ourselves and the world, including inspired keynote address by author and spiritual guide Elizabeth Ann Hinn. She brought the idea of the prophetess alive to me, for me, in a way that I'd never experienced before. As she recounted stories of great prophets like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon them all, I realized the versions I've been taught severely neglected the honor to honor the role of the feminine in bringing the divine message into the world. Jesus couldn't have emerged as the grace to humanity he was without the Blessed Virgin Mary's bravery and devotion to God. The Prophet Muhammad's wife Khadija was integral to the revelation of the Quran, as she was inspired to tend to, nurture and support him so that he could bear the message of grace. It was said the two of them together were held to receive the blessings of God. Elizabeth said, in receiving the story of Abraham, she highlighted how he brought to the world a message of oneness of humanity through two women, Sarah and Hagar, each nurturing a son to bring a different faith and language to name that universal oneness. But instead of realizing the underlying unity that Abraham's family represented, we created armor, Elizabeth says. Now the work is, how do we hold the two mothers and the father and the two boys so the weapons come down? In the story of Moses, three women, his birth mother, Pharaoh's wife, and his birth sister, work together selflessly without competition or deceit or treachery to hold one boy to move forward as a father of all humanity. Elizabeth revealed to me the ways of prophetic history is rich in descriptions of the embodiment of feminine and masculine energies in action. More importantly, though, this interplay between the prophetess and prophet is a metaphor for our inner experience as human beings, comprising both feminine and masculine energies. I never really thought about how the two coalesced in me before, yet hearing it somehow made sense intrinsically. The feminine energy is the receptive part of me and all of us that's open to surrendering to what is, to being in the moment. It does not seek power or control, yet, like the prophetess, it is the inspiration imbuing that which is power. The masculine is the actor that embodies the gesture generated by the feminine, the doer. And when in harmony, there's a natural ebb and flow of the feminine receiving and the masculine acting. Unfortunately, the feminine has been so devalued for centuries that a false masculinity dominates, driven by our deepest insecurities and fears. It's that part of me that is defensive, that wants to control events and people, to accumulate possessions and prompt those around me to put up their armor. The devaluation of the sacred feminine in men and women not only damages our inner experience and relationships, it leads to the degradation of nature, war, the abuse of women, and the exclusion of the feminine from influence. The heroine in most people has been thirsty for a long time, Elizabeth said, urging men and women to open her up, to simply receive grace and then embody it. There's a great deal of argument around the world. What I observe occurring in that argument is the incomplete understanding of how to let the sacred feminine move through us. The sacred feminine is wise, creative, life-giving, and in contact with her intuition and heart. And when I allow her to flow through me, I am receptive, nurturing, empathetic, resilient, patient, and open to receiving and embodying grace in the moment. When she is present, the sacred masculine, which is guided towards qualities such as courage and honor instead of conflict and suffering, has space to unfold within me. Those around me feel secure enough to put their figurative weapons down. Arguments, defensiveness, and negativity are replaced with understanding, unity, and the ability to see the divine in each other. We encourage one another to live from our highest selves, beyond competition, envy, pride, and vanity. While our shared spiritual histories have long placed a great deal of emphasis on the stories of the heroes, the heroine has always been there, intrinsic and essential to the narrative. Each step I take to embody her in my life today is for me a step towards writing her story back into history. That was Dalia Mazaban, which I think you will agree was quite something, and I couldn't edit that. But she understands and she speaks to what I have been referencing, how to keep in balance the sacred masculine and feminine. The recognition that as we balance our receiving and our creating, our being and our doing, our allowing and our acting. We express and experience life in a completely different way. My sacred text, it's from Lao Tzu, from the Tao. And it says, know the masculine while you hold to the feminine, and you will be a value to the world. Lao Tzu here is describing this coinciding movement of knowing and holding, much to what we have just been talking about, the receiving and the creating, the being and the doing, the allowing and the acting. He's talking about the knowing and the holding being in their proper and befitting operation. It's this understanding that the feminine is the knowing, the masculine is the holding. And it's not that these two energies have to be first one or first the other. They come together instantly. They're spontaneous. It's not first I'll do this and then I'll do that. No. The balancing of them is that allowing for them both to be present. And when you think of the Tao, you cannot but help or think of the yin-yang symbol, the circle that has the black and white, one looking like sort of upside down commas, one with a black circle in the white, and then one with the white circle in the black. And that, again, is the representation of both the feminine and the masculine energies, that they flow between the two. It's not linear, it's this movement of flowing. And so it is this recognition for us, my beloved, as we balance our feminine and masculine energies, allowing them to flow, allowing them to be in alignment, recognizing the difference of what we and where we are in, whether we are surrendering and receiving or whether we are creating and doing. My poem is entitled To Be a Woman by Alice Walker. And Alice says, to be a woman does not mean to wear a shroud. The feminine is not dead, nor is she sleeping. Angry, yes. Seething, yes. Biding her time, yes. Yes. We can see so clearly in our world at this time how out of sync and out of balance the divine feminine is. And it is only as we do the work can we start to heal our world. As we do the work on ourselves in balancing the divine feminine and masculine. As always, as I share, what we do for ourselves does ripple out to impact the world. It does ripple out to change it. We can look and see and talk about all that is happening and how awful it is and how dreadful it is and put our attention and energy on woe, woe, woe is our world. But it is much more constructive to look to ourselves first, to see how we are out of sync and look to see how we can balance our inner and outer world and how to balance our feminine and masculine energies so that we can start to heal not only ourselves but our world. My Science of Mind reading is entitled What Shall We Produce? The first quote comes from Maya Angelou, who says, each of us has that right, that possibility to invent ourselves daily. If a person does not invent herself, she will be reinvented. So to be bodacious enough to invent ourselves is wise. Our second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, Living Without Fear. We are chemists in the laboratory of the infinite, what shall we produce? The author writes, the grand petri dish of existence is a living, breathing experiment of the outpicturing of source, one sacred and holy dish serving its own aware presence. I am spirit's favorite concoction and great resource. The creative wisdom of the universe is housed within my mind, and everything I need is already within me. All that is growing through me, all that is manifesting before me, is formed by the substance of the infinite. I am the warm and welcoming incubation of divine ideas and endless possibilities. I am the creator of my own self. I invent and reinvent myself with wisdom, joy, and grace. I am tapped into and aligned with the highest expression of spirit within me. I am the flow of infinite intelligence moving through the laboratory of life, and all of my activity is the activity of the beloved. I walk taller, speak kinder, and work joyfully as the highest service to the expression of my fullest potential being made known. When things change, I allow the creative process to see the steps ahead of me with clarity and respect. I trust that everything I bring into my life experience is for the expression of my true self. I am bodacious, audacious, and divine. The more I expand and express myself, the more the world expands around me. I see all the goodness in my life pouring into all the lives of my friends and neighbors. As I give myself permission to explore my divine nature, I give everyone I encounter the same opportunity to know a higher truth for themselves simply by being myself in their presence. I love that reading. Truly, in order to express and produce, we need to balance our divine and masculine and feminine energies. So, my beloveds, if you haven't already, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes, to bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as you inhale, affirm to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. And as you exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Final time. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out slow. Now place your hands on your heart. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the wonderful work the heart does as it pumps the blood around the body. Then inhale. Affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Now place your hands on your kidneys, towards your lower back, and take a moment to just to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the kidneys do as it eliminates the toxic waste and substances out of your body. Inhale, affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Place your attention now on your liver, the right side of your body, under your rib cage. And take a moment to acknowledge the work that that wonderful organ, the largest in the body, as it detoxifies and combats the infections within the blood. Inhale. Affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now place your hands on your lungs and acknowledge with gratitude the work that these lungs do as it brings in the air from outside in the atmosphere and pass the oxygen round through the bloodstream. Now affirm as you inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Place your attention on your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge some gratitude for what the stomach does as it stores and mixes and breaks down the food that you need for energy and sustenance. Now affirm as you inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Take a moment to acknowledge all of the systems within your body temple. All the systems that we take for granted that unconsciously was doing the work that we need. Our nervous systems, our respiratory, our endocrine, our immune, skeletal, the circulatory, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive systems, all of these wonderful systems within this sacred temple of God. So now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a moment, breathe that in. And now let us enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know the divine beloved, the sacred ground of being, the infinite intelligence is everywhere present. There is nowhere where God is not. The psalmist recognized this when he said, if I dwell in the deepest parts of the ocean, thou art there. And if I climb up to the utmost mountains, thou art there too. So let us know, like the psalmist knew, there is nowhere where God isn't. We live, move, and have our being, the divine omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, that is God. Divine beloved Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, we ask that you help us balance our divine and masculine energies so that we can both receive and create, be and do, allow and act, but in harmonious synchronization. Let us balance our energies, our sacred divine energies, so that we can live and express from that which you created us to live and express from, as child and children of the infinite high and the innermost God. Mother, Father, God, you did not create us to struggle in this life. You created us to live a life that was empowering, inspiring, abundant, and blessed. Let us eliminate and remove everything and anything that blocks us from seeing, believing, and receiving our good. Let us eliminate anything that keeps us out of balance with our divine feminine and our divine masculine energies. Let us eliminate anything, any thoughts, any ideas, any beliefs that are erroneous, that make us think that we are unworthy or not enough or undeserving. Our teacher said it was your good pleasure to give us the kingdom, that kingdom of peace, of joy, of harmony, of abundant good. Let us eliminate anything that we may be holding in our hearts that blocks us from seeing and believing and receiving our good. Mother, Father, God, there is so much happening across our world. Some of it in the news and some of it forgotten. Some of it deemed important and some of it feels to be less important. But for everything that is happening across our globe, for everywhere and everyone that is experiencing the effects of war or famine, food insecurities, or in need of shelter and safety and security, which is happening all over our globe, not just in one part and not another. Let us see that all people, irrespective of color, race, religion, or creed, are deserving of our compassion, our care, and our attention, and our solutions to finding a way through whatever the discord, discourse, or the reasons are. We are the vessels through which peace has to come through, and each of us can do our part to bring in peace here on earth. So let us step up into that and owning that to be the divine emissaries of peace, of love and light here at this time. I cannot fail to include the governments of our world. When they seem to be acting from self-interest, Lord, I ask that you touch their hearts, that they can remember the people's interest. When they are acting from greed, or greed of power, greed of money, the greed of self-importance, I ask that you touch their hearts, that they remember the needs of the people, the needs for shelter, the needs for food, the needs for education, the needs for well-being. You put us here on this earth at this time So let us show up as loving beings, expressing the oneness that we are at the core of our humanity. Mother, Father, God, you know our individual needs as well as our collective needs. And so in this moment, I allow my divine feminine to surrender them all to you, for you know what to do and how to do it. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm. I am enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, palms down, over your heart and affirm. I am loving, loved, and lovable. Bring your hands together as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that are life-giving, energizing. Now drop your hands to your sides, palms open, and affirm. I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for this morning's affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. I give myself permission.
I give myself permission.
To invent and reinvent myself.
To invent and reinvent myself.
With clarity and wisdom. Everything I produce.
Everything I produce.
Is bodacious and divine. Our Buddhist meditations, if anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without. Manifesting exuberantly.
manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
So March is Women's History Month, and I want to share a brief history of a wonderful woman called Ada Lovelace, born 1815 to 1852. She says, quoted saying, "That brain of mine is something more than merely mortal, as time will show." Ada Lovelace was an English mathematician and the world's first computer programmer. Lovelace was born into privilege as the daughter of a famously unstable romantic poet, Lord Byron, who left the family when Ada was just 2 months old, and with Lady Wentworth. Ada was a charming woman of society, was friends with people such as Charles Dickens, but she is most famous for being the first person ever to publish an algorithm intended for a computer, her genius being years ahead of her time. Lovelace died of cancer at the age of 36, and it took nearly a century after her death for people to appreciate her notes on Babbage's analytical engine, which became recognized as the first description for computer and software ever. So, my beloved, as we come towards our close, our rumination for this week, Rumi says, "God is never seen immaterially, and the vision of him in a woman is the most perfect of all." So my closing song today is, as it's Women's History Month, as it's Women's Month, it's going to be women all this month for our songs. It's by Tasha Layton, and I changed it at the last minute, so let me just get the correct one, entitled "I Got You." Enjoy.
Thank you. I'm still consuming my perfection. Just as I don't want to see my own reflection. All these pieces are so hard to hold together. Am I the only one feeling what I'm feeling? My face is blurry and I can't see the reason why my heart really.
a deliberate mistake. I'm sorry, that was not the Tasha Layton song I wanted to play, but obviously the universe wanted to hear it again. So I will play for you.